Merry Christmas, everyone. During the First World War, there was a famous Christmas truce of 1914. Pope Benedict XV, on December 7th of that year, he called for a halt to the fighting. He asked that the guns may fall silent, at least on the night that the angels sang. On December 23rd, some German soldiers, they placed Christmas trees above their trenches. And then they started singing Silent Night. And the Allied soldiers, they responded with their own Christmas carols. And then soldiers on both sides, they emerged from the trenches unarmed. They started greeting each other. They actually exchanged gifts. And they started playing soccer. There were about 100,000 soldiers who were involved in this ceasefire. And one British soldier, he said of this remarkable event, he said, "For a moment, one could treat one's enemies with kindness and goodwill." And so every Christmas, God is asking for peace among his children. He's wanting peace for those of us who are fighting with our family members, or with those we've hurt, or those who have hurt us. And ultimately, he wants us to have peace. He wants us to stop fighting with him. He wants us to come back home. One German lieutenant at the Christmas truce, he said that Christmas is a celebration of love. Well, Christmas is more than the celebration of love. Valentine's Day is the celebration of love, and you never have any truces on that day, right? Well, Christmas is more than the celebration of love. We say that Christmas is a celebration of three words. God became man. So I just want to unpack that for you. God became man. Now, there are four sets of biblical readings for Christmas. Christmas is such an important, Christmas is the second most important feast day for Christians. So the church gives us four sets of readings. I just want to take two of them today and just explain what this means. So the gospel for Christmas Day, which we're going to use at the 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. masses, says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And the Word became flesh and lived among us." So the Word is the second person of the Trinity. So you've got God, three persons, but the second person, so he's omnipotent, right? He exists outside of time. He's eternal. He's goodness itself. He's perfection itself. And then that perfect being, he takes on a human nature. He takes on flesh. That's what we call the incarnation. And now he can take on limits. He can actually now suffer and die. So think about that. You're perfect, and now you're taking on the ability to suffer. You realize how big a jump that is? So Archbishop Sheen, he uses this example. Imagine you love your dog so much. You love your dog so much that you'd choose to become a dog. Okay? And you would have the ability to reason, but now as a dog, you can't use reason. You only can use instinct. You'd have the ability to speak, but you can't speak anymore. You could only bark. And then you'd spend the rest of your days with dogs, knowing that you're 1,000 times better than they are. So the distance between humanity and dogs or animals, let's say it's that much. It's much closer than the distance between God and man, because God is infinite. So do you realize how big a jump that is? God becomes man. And that is the power of Christmas. It's not just Valentine's Day, nice love. Christmas is so much more powerful. So that's why people, the general consciousness of humanity, they think about God becoming man. That's why you have thousands of Christmas carols for hundreds of years. You have all these hundreds of great artistic and cultural achievements. So the power of Christmas comes from God becoming man, but also the way he did it. So when Jesus became man, he didn't just become a man at full age. He became a baby. Why? To show us his humility, to show us his vulnerability. Pope Benedict XVI puts it this way: God's always been reaching out to us, and this comes to completion in the incarnation, again, God becoming man. And he has put himself into our hands. God has put himself into our hands, meaning you can receive him or you can actually hurt him. But what he wants us to receive him as a baby. And babies have this incredible gift of disarming us with their innocence and purity. In my family, my Chinese grandmother did not accept my Caucasian mother. So when my mom and dad first were together, my mom was not allowed inside the Chinese house. They wouldn't even let her inside. But when my oldest brother, Brendan, was born, he was half white and half Chinese, and he fully belonged to both sides of the family. And so my grandmother had to accept my mom. That baby helped. That baby disarmed my grandmother's prejudices. And then the bonds grew even stronger between both families. The tension decreased further when our middle brother, Garg, was born. And then everything became perfect when I was born. And when I told my mom that I was going to share this today in the homily, she said, but don't forget to tell them that before Amma, grandma, died, she loved my mom. And before my grandmother died, mom learned to love her. God is reaching out to us today. He's offering us peace. He's giving us a chance today for peace. And the second reading from Christmas Mass last night at midnight says this: the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety. Impiety means godless ways and worldly passions, and to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. So let's just look at that word grace. Grace, technical term, this is from the Greek. The New Testament's written in Greek. And that word is translating a Hebrew word, hesed. Hesed means steadfast love. Okay, so God's steadfast love has appeared. And there's one other neat thing about that word grace. Grace in the Greek was used whenever an emperor would visit a city. And what would he do when the emperor visits a city? He would give favors. He would give grace. And in this text, they're saying God's steadfast love, God's favors has appeared. But they're referring to one point in history. In the original text, they're referring to one point in history. What grace of God has appeared? Jesus coming. So Jesus coming today has appeared. This grace, this is an opportunity. God's giving us a chance today to reconcile with a bunch of us, people that we're not getting along with, and with him. So what is God doing? He's giving us this chance. So if we receive this chance, we should start giving it to other people. If you're a guest here, a big welcome to you. Great to have guests. I just want to update you on something we've been doing lately at this church. For the past 4 weeks, we've had one theme, this Alpha as culture. Every week, we'd celebrate just one virtue, and we'd try to grow in one virtue every week. And today, we just want to work on what we call centrality of Christ. We have to focus on Christ more and more and more. Now, you might think, oh, it's obvious, every church focuses on Jesus. Actually, it's not obvious. A lot of churches don't focus on Jesus. And what we need to do here, we need to focus more on Jesus. And today, Jesus is offering us something. He's offering us a chance at reconciliation. Now, I want to give you 4 ways we can respond. Jesus is offering us something. Here are 4 ways we can respond. First, if God's offering us this, we can respond by reaching out to other people and reaching out to God in humility. So, there are people in our lives you don't get along with. Is it possible this Christmas we could reach out to them? Maybe, let's say we're at war with them. Could we have a ceasefire like that Christmas truce? Now, I'm not saying we should just have a false peace. A false peace would be to pretend that all those hurts between us haven't happened. That's not what I'm asking. All I'm asking today is, could we put aside our pride, our resentment, our unjust anger, our lack of forgiveness, our lack of listening? There is a chance if we are very kind to someone this Christmas, they won't accept it. That's part of the risk of Christmas. That's a risk that Jesus himself took. Okay, number 2, First one is we're going to reach out to other people. Number two, we want to get to full reconciliation. So God's reaching out to us at Christmas. We might not be fully reconciled to God just yet, because it takes a bit more than just being nice. Full reconciliation with God means we have faith in him. It means we go to confession. And it also means we obediently follow him. If we're not fully reconciled with God, today during communion, if you're not fully yet reconciled with God, please don't take Holy Communion, because that wouldn't be right. Now, let's say we want to get there. What can we do? So we want to offer, right after this homily, I'm going to go into the confessional. If anyone wants to go to confession during Mass, I'll be happy to hear it. Now, looking at your faces, I can see none of you want to go to me. That's okay. But right after Mass finishes, Father Pierre is going to go into his office. And just like yesterday at the 5 and at the midnight Mass, he's going to hear confessions for hours. So if you need that opportunity, please take advantage of it. The yellow examination of conscience is right on that wall over there. Help us prepare for a confession. And if you're not yet ready to go to confession, let's say you need to, come today during communion, come for a blessing. Put your arm across your chest like that, and Father Pierre, Deacon Andrew, and if I give communion, we're going to just pray that you can take that step closer to full reconciliation. We want to get there. Number three, Jesus is very vulnerable. He's coming as a baby. He's humble. One simple way that we could imitate that vulnerability is by being a bit more honest with each other. So you know how we all cover up difficult topics in our families? So in my family, no one ever wanted to talk about that my dad didn't have a job. No one ever wanted to talk about which cousins had bad marriages. None of us ever wants to say that we're struggling in life, that we have depression, or that we're struggling with a mental illness. Now, we all need privacy. That's very important. We have to protect and honor our privacy. But sometimes people in our lives, they want to help. And sometimes they already know what's going on. They already know we're struggling. And if we could just be a bit more vulnerable, that might help us heal. So one thing I'd like to see in our community to do this, in our church family, I'd love to see what I call a healthy vulnerability. For example, you all ask me, how are you doing, Father Justin? And I'd say, if I were a bit more honest, sometimes I'd say this, I'm not doing too well. And then say, well, what's going on? And I'd say, well, I don't really want to go into it, but I'm struggling. And then I'd say, well, can you pray for me? And you'd say, yeah, okay, I'll pray for you. But you see that just incremental step forward in vulnerability and honesty, that would really help. Now, I don't want an unhealthy vulnerability. Unhealthy vulnerability is we tell everyone indiscriminately all the bad things that's happening in our lives. That wouldn't help us grow. That wouldn't help anyone heal. We're going for a healthy vulnerability. The Catechism of the Church, when it's talking about the Christmas mystery, it says we're supposed to become like children, meaning humble and little. We're supposed to become like children in order to enter the kingdom of God. So could we just be a bit more vulnerable than normal? And finally, number four, I want to invite everyone on January 9th to Alpha. Great world-class program. What Alpha is it's three parts in the evening. What it starts off with is always a free dinner, and then a 25-minute video, world-class video about Jesus, and then a discussion. And the reason why Alpha is used in thousands of churches around the world, famous for its hospitality, its environment, and the chance that you can share your opinions, you can ask questions in a very non-threatening, non-judgmental way. So because of what Jesus has done for us, I personally feel more hopeful about reaching out to people in my lives that I'm not getting along with. I feel disarmed because of Jesus coming as a baby. We have an opportunity to reach out to others, to right some wrongs, and to rebuild some relationships, all because Jesus became man and he's offering us peace. And I'd now like to invite someone to come forward and share their testimony about reconciliation with God.